Thank you, Pastor Richard. Good afternoon, everybody. Hi, it feels so good to be back. And I think the last time I was here was for Pastor Jeremy's installation. And I was just telling Matt and Ats before, and I said, it feels like home. It's coming back home. And I was just very, very emotional from worship to Sarah, what you brought today for communion. It was just amazing. It just really, really touched my heart, and it feels like what a privilege. Thank you, Pastor Richard and Pastor Joanne, for actually inviting me to actually preach today. And I know for Pastor Richard, it's not easy for him to let anybody preach on the anniversary, right? The only last person I knew was Matt, Pastor Matt, right? He was the last one that I knew that actually preached, and I think I was there at that time in the church. And so it is very humbling and a real honor at the same time to actually be the one today to actually bring the word today. So thank you for this opportunity. But before that, I really want to honor Pastor Richard. Is that okay? Can we do that? We're a community that loves and that we honor. Amen? So I want to honor Pastor Richard as he honored me before. I want to honor him back. And Pastor Joanne. You see, before I came to First Light Church, the relationship is actually with them. And Pastor Joanne, one amazing lady that she just serves. I could never see her stop serving. Like literally everything, like after you finish eating, she helps clean up and everything. I'm like, other pastors I see, they would just like sit down there and, you know, like hang around. But not her. Not her. She has a true servant heart. And Pastor Richard, you're a great mentor and a great pastor. You know, after being a pastor myself, it's not an easy job. It is not an easy call even. It's a lot of people would not understand what it means to be a pastor. And today, and you know, being put in my shoes, being put in that shoes, and I was like, oh my goodness. You literally have to love people even when it hurts. Love people and forgive people and still wake up in the morning and say, you know what, this is the call that God has called on my life and I will keep on going. And that's who Pastor Richard is, and that's what he passed on to me. And I think, like he said, you know, we have gone through, we've tried and tested our relationship. Some people say it's love-hate relationship, but I never think it's hate. I think it's challenging. He challenged me because, you know what? He knows what's best for me. You know, a true pastor is not only, oh, sayang, sayang. You know what sayang, sayang means? What's in English? Stroke, stroke, not stroke, stroke. You know, like, oh, you, I love you. You're good. You're great. It's not about that. A true pastor, he's a shepherd. A shepherd actually also corrects, it rebukes, and also edifies. Yeah, so that's what a pastor does. It brings correction because they care for you. Amen? Ooh, only some people say amen because you've been corrected. Hey. And I also want to honor you, Pastor Richard, that, you know, one of the things that really, one of the scriptures that really speak really, really hugely in my life is Ephesians 4:12. It's about the ascension gifts. You all know the ascension gifts? The apostles, what? Come on. Prophets, what else? Okay, this is back to seminary school. Evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And you know what? To me, you know, some people say, I only have the gift of a teacher. I only have the gift of a pastor or something like that. But what I see in Pastor Richard, he has all five gifts. If you agree with me, and I really want to honor him for that because he's also a visionary. He's the apostle in him. You know, he's a visionary. He's a pastor. He is an evangelist. You know, they say about evangelists, they are storytellers. So if there's a lot of storytellers in here, you are an evangelist, okay? And he's also a connector. So, and also he's a teacher, and one a great teacher, actually, because this is where I've actually learned about grace coming to First Light Church. I didn't understand grace until I came here. Funny, huh? I read it in the Bible, went to Bible school, and you know, 4 years, and you still don't understand grace until I came here. Funny. Well, tell your other friends about grace. Nothing to come here. And a prophet. And everything that he has prophesied so far has come to pass. I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. No, it is really, really good. So my friends, my family, 14 years. Amazing, hey? You know, I went back to Pastor Richard's sermon last year when he had his 13 good things about what he loved about this church. Can I just quickly remind you what they are? Do you remember? No? Okay. Dare to take a risk. You value kingdom connections. You are diverse and intergenerational. And this is what I love about First Light. You know, fill with different people. You're not perfect, but passionate for people. You serve. You guys serve like sons and daughters. You welcome children to serve. You're modeling to your children, and that's discipleship. You know, you are willing to step up. You know, you walk in the light of Scripture and in spirit. And one thing I know is you guys are very generous. You release people out. You release me. You release Matt, and you release a lot of other people. You're small enough to know everyone, is that right? And big enough to love everyone. Am I correct in saying that? Caring community, a real family. You lift up Jesus and take up mission seriously. Jesus and the center on sound doctrine, Jesus and the gospel. And what I also notice is that, you know, one thing that Pastor Richard has done is that he has raised up a lot of grace preachers in this church. I wish Ivana or Mel, and I know, is Kelvin here? Yeah, Kelvin's here, and Sang. There's so many of you guys. And Jeremy, of course, Pastor Jeremy, of course, is also one of them. You know, this church, has brought a lot of restoration for me and healing. And it actually started my full-time ministry of actually someone who believed in me and willing to give me a go, knowing that I have come up from a bad start, even come up from Bible school. And I tell you, there is so much to learn when you come up from Bible school. You think you know everything? No, you don't. You still have to learn a lot of things. But what I love about this church, that it is not about the building, but it's about building people. Amen? If you agree with that, say it again. It's really about building people, not about building a building. Yay? All right. So today, my friends and family, I want to encourage you as you celebrate your 14 years, which actually means a multiple of seven. There's something about I like about numbers. Every time when I see numbers, I start either praying for someone or God would remind me of a scripture. So I was asking the Lord, what does it mean, this multiple seven? It's a double measure of spiritual perfection. And I was asking the Lord, I said, well, what do you mean by this? And you saw that in the video earlier on, how much you have been filled, how much you have been fed, how much God has deposited in this church. Amen? How much He has put you and placed you in such a great place. But then I realized as the 14 years have already ended, but now actually you're entering the 15th year. You know, I like the number 15 because I was born on the 15th. So what does it mean, 15th? It means rest. Rest. Who has been really, really tired? Who have been really, really tired lately? Oh, so many hands up. You know what? This is a year of rest. But rest doesn't mean you sit down and do nothing. I always have remembered what Pastor Richard has taught me, that rest is a Holy Spirit-directed activity, okay? It's when you rest, you know, you are actually in the center of what God is actually doing. So I want to charge this church this afternoon. It's a bit strange to say this afternoon. I want to charge this church. As you enter into this 15th year, what does rest actually look like for you? What does rest look like? God is actually wanting to say that He wants to release you from the things of the past, from bondage that held you captive, release you from pain, release you to be known. Because some of you have been hiding and some of you have suppressed what God has given you and you've just been sitting back and say, it's okay, it's okay. But God says it's time for you to be known. It's time to liberate, to relinquish or even surrender a right. Sometimes you feel you have the right to do something, but God says, now give that a rest, okay? It's time to say, that's it, you know? To remove restriction, it's deliverance. God wants you to enter into what God has for you. When all you have done, He wants you to engage. He wants you to be involved in things. He wants you to participate in things. And you're probably saying, hey, Rena, did you just say rest? And what are you saying to be involved in things? You know, I can't imagine resting and shaking my legs. Well, actually, I can. I did that just 15 days in Malaysia. Actually, no, it was an eating holiday. And, you know, if you are in tune with God, He puts you in a place and you're always actually pretty rested. That's what I noticed. That's what I know. You're actually very, very rested. And then you come into that place, it's R-E-S-T, right? So S actually stands for you to stand. It's for you to trust what God is doing. After all that you've done, now you have got to do is just to stand. And my friends, the time is now. T stands for time. You know, I believe it's not an accident that you are doing the book of Timothy. Are you all enjoying it so far? There's two sermons on that already. Have you all read it? Okay. I think it is not an accident. It's an incredible book. And the fact that the book of Timothy is being preached and being taught through at this time for this season is that actually God is calling you to a higher place. Do you like that? God is calling you to a higher place, my friends. So it's actually not just, hey, you know what? I'm going to hear the book of Timothy. I'm going to read it. But you know what? I'm not going to let it change me. Can I encourage you, please? It is actually time to step in to actually what God has for you and what God has for this church. The reason being, because God is serious about you personally, God is serious about this church, and God is serious about the people out there. So there's something that He wants us to actually grow and mature in. And the book of Timothy, in this season, as you enter into your 15th year, God is actually wanting you to participate, to involve, and to rest in the scriptures. Is that all right? Yeah? Why don't you tell someone next to you, God is serious about me? And you can say louder the next one, God is serious about the church. And then now I want you to say even louder to the next person, God is serious about the people outside. Amen. He is serious. And with that, as you all are doing the book of Timothy, I really, really felt, I know that Pastor hasn't come to this place yet, Pastor Richard, in chapter 4. I know you all are just at chapter 2 at the moment. But I want you all to open your Bibles right now if you can. I purposely didn't want to put up a PowerPoint so that, you know, we don't become lazy. Especially after having a beautiful lunch, you want to actually work yourself a little bit, okay? We're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is when Paul was instructing Timothy. Timothy was such a young pastor. I was hoping Jeremy would be here. I said, Jeremy, this is for you, Pastor Jeremy. But he was instructing and giving good advices, giving wisdom, telling wisdom and speaking wisdom into Timothy's life. And I felt like to encourage our church, to encourage First Light as you enter into your 15th year, that this is what you need to do, that this is some things to put in action in our lives. So verse 11 from 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 11 to 16, it says, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love. In the KJV version, it says in spirit as well, in faith and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. I'm just going to pray right now. Father God, as we just heard your word, apply this into our hearts. Apply the incorruptible word into our hearts. And bless this short time we have together. And as I surrender this word to you, and I surrender myself to you, Abba Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we look at this text, Paul was giving great word, as I said before, and advice to Timothy. And we look at first verse 11. You know, it's a command and teach these things. And you know, you probably feel that, oh, this is only for Timothy. This is only for a young pastor or leaders in the church. But can I encourage you that I feel when Paul was actually writing this to Timothy, he's probably already expecting that the older people are already doing these things, that they've already set an example of what it actually means to walk in that, Let me see. To be an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. So he's encouraging young Timothy because he's pretty young. He's in his 30s, and he felt like, you know what, just because you are young, don't be intimidated, you know, so that you can actually do these things so that you can show yourself worthy as well as set an example to the rest of them. You see, sometimes sorry, I'm just going to go into verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. You know, I was thinking about this line, and I remember when I first became a ministry worker here in First Light Church. I came in here pretty new. I didn't really know anyone. And, you know, you just finished Bible school, so you think you feel like you know a lot of things. And I was trying to change a lot of things. I came in and did a lot of stuff thinking I knew it better, because, you know, knowledge kind of puffs you up sometimes, you know. So that's what I kind of did. And I really stepped on a lot of people's toes. I probably got a lot of people upset as well. But I'm so grateful for Pastor Richard. He says, you know, sit back a little bit, just wait, observe and learn. Don't be so quick to actually say things and change things. And I truly treasure that so much. I did have to learn the hard way, because I did my practical part here in the first part when I came to First Light Church. And there was the youth coordinator at that time. I'm not going to mention any names, but some of you actually know him. He actually wrote in my report that I had to give back to my Bible school at the time in Perth Bible College. He said that, oh, really great person, but have to really, really work on her leadership. Ouch! It was so hard to hear, and it was so painful to actually, someone is telling me I have to work on my leadership skills. What do you know? You didn't go to Bible school? You know, that kind of attitude. You know, I had to work on that. And, you know, He said, you don't understand the culture. Every time when you go into a different church or a different area, a different place, you need to sit down and look at the land and look at what's going on. Get to know people, build relationships, as Sarah was saying. You know, the relationship is so important than actually telling people what to do. You know, that is the key. And I had to learn from that. And yes, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. So sometimes one might exert independence by ignoring the experience of the age. You know, because we tend to do that. And especially, I think, even in my youth, you know, they think they know it all because you know, they've got internet and they read books I've never read before, and the way they come to me and they'll start sharing everything and they say they know better, you know what I mean? And they go like, oh, Rena, we should do this, we should do that, and we should do this. And sometimes I have to stop them and actually say, hey, why don't you think about this first and think 10 steps before and then 10 steps after. This was Pastor Rich's teaching to me, actually, and I just handed it down. And no, it's incredible. We have to treasure and honor the people who have walked longer in Christ. Amen? We have to learn from them. And I just want to encourage those of you who have never been mentored, please go look for a mentor. Be discipled. It is so important to be discipled because you cannot journey this Christian walk alone. You cannot. Amen? Okay. The next one, verse 13. Oh, sorry, verse 12. So my friends, you may not be spiritually mature and you may feel intimidated. And that means that you may be young in the faith, that you may be, it doesn't matter what age you are, you could be young in the faith or you know, just really new in the Lord. We still have some responsibilities. You know, I can honestly say I can never be a perfect example, but I will try my best to be a good example, yeah? So I want to encourage you guys that we have responsibilities in the way we set ourselves an example, and that is in word. And what does it mean when we say in word? That means we need to be truthful in our relationships. We need to know the Word of God. Let it be so deeply embedded in us that when we actually speak to people, that we speak life and not speak death. Amen? And in our conduct, what does it mean actually in our conduct, in our conversations? How do we speak to people? How do we speak to our church friends? How do we speak to the people outside? Because you don't realize this, but people are always watching you. They're listening to you and they're watching you. I think what I want to encourage you guys is that what I want to charge you guys is not only into a place of rest and knowing that place of rest, but actually going to that place that you can experience freedom. And when you experience that freedom, you can actually be an example to the people outside. Because we are the carrier of the presence of God. Amen? We are the carrier of presence of God. And if we walk out here, and especially with the world today, how evil is so rampant, and you know, you just sit down and hold back, and we're not actually stepping out and say that, I want to be that example of Christ. You know, when I was in Malaysia, you know, people say, oh, your holidays, you know, you don't have to do anything. You know, some people say, I don't even have to read the Bible or whatever. Hey, I'm on holidays. It doesn't mean I stop reading the Bible. Yeah? So anyway, still read the word, and I'll say, God, what do you have for me today? And wherever we went, and we went to a pub. Hey, who wants an Irish Guinness pub beer? Sorry, Guinness beer? Guinness beer? I don't know what you call it. Anyway, I didn't drink. I didn't drink Guinness. I don't drink Guinness, sorry. So we went to a pub because for some of you who know my story, you know, my father and I have been reconciled after 24 years in 2019. So my father's actually a Muslim, and we have been separated and because of our beliefs. And in 2019, by God's grace, we have been restored and been reconciled as father-daughter. And God has been so gracious, and He bought our tickets to actually fly to KK and visit and meet Kenyon for the first time. And we had such a great time. Anyway, just thought I'd give you a backstory there. One day I'll tell you how God miraculously actually reconciled the relationship. So that day, when we were all just having dinner, right, Mom? My mom's here too. We were all having dinner and just having a good time. And I was just wanting to go to the toilet. And here there was this girl. And I just had a word for her. And I just started opening, sharing with her and open and just, you know, remind her of who Christ is to her. And she was just like, whoa, you know, I used to be a Christian, but now I'm a Muslim, you know. And I was just telling, I didn't care. Like, why do I care, right? I mean, here I have an opportunity to witness who God is to her. And she was like, hey, can I grab your number? And so we exchanged numbers. And then so that was on my way to the toilet. And then... when I came out of the toilet, I'm like, okay, I'm looking forward to just sit down right now because I think I spoke quite a bit. Even my husband came and said, okay, I think you spoke a lot already. So the first one. And then when I came out, and this lady, another lady, I didn't even talk to her. I didn't do nothing. And she just actually came to me. She was sitting down at the bar and she just held my hand like that. And I'm like, who are you? Who are you? I don't know you are. Sorry. No, not Pastor Joanne. You know, she held my hand and she said, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, oh my God, what's going on here? You know? And she said, because the moment I walked in and I saw your face, there's something about you. And I said, okay. I said, what's your name? And she said, my name is Esther. And I said, Esther, in Hebrew, it means Hadassah. And Hadassah actually means, you know, you're a star. You're meant to shine. You're not meant to hide. And, you know, and straight away the words just came out. And I'm like, I don't even know who she is. I didn't even ask a background, whatever, nothing. And I just said, you know, they just came out and just flowed out. And I said that, you know, and you know, you've been cooped up for a long time. And you're not meant to hide under other people. You're meant to shine because God created you. And God, I just went on and on and on and on. And you know what happened? I know. And you know, she was like, she said, oh my goodness, God sent you to me. God sent you to me. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, Lord. And let me tell you something. That night, she was supposed to go back with another guy. And she came to my table and she said, I'm not going home with him. I'm going to listen to you and I'm going to follow the Lord. My friends, we need to be an example. We need to be that voice of God out there. We need to be the voice of God, even here in this church, amongst our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to encourage one another. We need to go out. We need to make disciples. If you are quiet and you are silent, I tell you, even the rocks will cry out and start praising. I could tell you so many stories what happened in Sabah. There was only two stories. There was a couple more of what God did. My friends, it has to be part of the ingredient in your life. You need to. In our conversations, in the way we speak to one another. And you know, we can do all these things. And if you don't have love, which is our next one that you need to have is in love. You can be all famous, you can be all great in what you do, but if you don't have love, it means nothing. And like what I said about being a pastor, one thing about being a pastor is that you have to love people through their mistakes, through how maybe I've disappointed them. Maybe you need to have a bigger heart to love us pastors because we sometimes disappoint you too. And you know, but we have to love them through failures. Through everything. And even if they shout at you, I don't know whether you've ever experienced this, but I have, that someone would shout at you, even as a pastor. And in KJV version, actually says also in spirit. And it says that even when in difficult times, you rise above the circumstances. That's what it means in spirit. And in faith, that you need to be in loyalty, that we need to be an example in our faith, that we need to show loyalty, that we need to remain faithful to the Word of God and the principles of God. And then the one other thing that he says that Paul actually encourages Timothy is that to walk in purity, to be an example in purity. That means stay committed to what God has to say and the principles of God. Don't be double-minded. Don't compartmentalize God. That means you're a Christian here in church on Sunday, and then you're someone else at your workplace or at your school or at your college, and even, can I go even closer, at home. Don't be someone, don't be double-minded. Don't compartmentalize God. Verse 13, it says, devote yourself in public reading of scripture to preach an exhortation. You know, you probably will say to me, Rena, how can I go around outside preaching and, you know, and reading the scripture? And, you know, it's easy for you because you're a pastor, or all the pastors or the leaders in the church, they can do that. But then when it comes to us, how can we do that? Exhortation means encourage. Yeah, and it says, you know, devote yourself in public reading of scripture. What does that mean? That means read the word at home even. Read it to your children. Read it out loud. Read it to your friends. And an exhortation, it doesn't mean, you know, you have to preach and, you know, take the Bible and bash someone with them. No, what you do is to encourage, just to say something that brings life to someone that's encouraging. You know, and as a Christian, people watch what comes out of our mouth. And if it's hurtful and negative and rude, that's what they remember. People need to be edified, like that lady Esther. And you say, to teach, how can I teach? I'm not a teacher. You know what? When you're having lunch with your friends at your workplace, you don't have to teach them. But the things that you have learned in your life, that you're walking in, you know, that you're walking out God's word, that you've applied in your life, you can be a witness to them. Amen? You can be a witness to the people around you. Because if you walk defeated and not knowing the word, and if you don't know your identity in Christ, and if you keep silent, then I tell you the next 50 generations will actually not know Jesus. So we really have a mandate. We really have something to actually step up and go out and do what God has called us to do. And it says in verse 14, do not neglect your gift which has been given to you. God has given each one of you a gift. Do you all know your gifts? Yes? Okay, only one person said he knows his gifts, which is Pastor Richard. All five gifts and all the 9 spiritual gifts. What other gifts do we have? Do you know your gift that God has preordained in you, not someone laying hands on you to tell you what your gift is, because that's what it actually means. It's not the laying of hands of the elders is actually affirming what God has already done in you. Yeah? God has already deposited something in you, that gift. And you're unique, because I can't do what you do. But God has wired you in a certain way, so use it. That gift, because the moment you keep that gift, and you know the parable of the talents, hey, what happened when you don't use that gift? Anyone remembers? Can shout it out. Sorry? It's taken away. It's taken away. You know what? Know your gift. If you don't know your gift, go speak to Pastor Richard. Go speak to some of the elders in the church. They will help you. They will walk with you. And you know what? Even if you know your gift, grow into your gift. Grow in it. If you're prophetic, grow in your prophetic gift. If you are a worship leader, and if you love singing and you enjoy worshiping, then grow in it. If you're called to be a leader, then grow in it. If you're called to be a teacher, then grow in it. Not just getting information, but actually walking it out and knowing and say, God, I want to be transformed into your image. I want to actually be out there when I'm with people and use my giftings, Father God, to be a blessing to others. Yeah? And verse 15 says, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. You know, the word that I got and I felt and as I was praying was complacency. And I asked the Lord, but First Light is doing really, really great. You know, how can I bring this word, complacency? But sometimes some of us are very complacent in where we're at. And when you're complacent, you become stagnant. And when you're stagnant, you will have a cold heart. That's not a good place to be, my friends. I feel like the Lord wants to encourage you, and He says, be diligent. And that's why the verse 15 actually says, be diligent. You know, if you know you're in a place, you know, it's so easy to actually just sit there and, you know what, it's okay. Time will pass. I will come to that matter later. You know, we give excuses to ourselves. But hello, can I remind you who you are? You are a child of God. And if you're a child of God, you don't give those kind of excuses. Yes? Don't be complacent. God didn't put you here on this earth to just sit down and wallow on your past and on what you didn't get through or what you didn't achieve. Hello, I could be the one doing that. If you know my past, I wouldn't be even standing here right now. I would have been dead 20 years ago, probably. But here, I choose not to be complacent. You know, one of my youth leaders in Southern Cross Center actually said to me, hey, Rena, do you drink coffee? And I said, no. Oh, you must be crazy then. He said, how is it that you have so much passion and you never grow tired? And I said, because the love I have for the Lord and the love I have for the lost. I was once lost and my God saved me. He found me. And I'm not going to sit put and sit back and say, hello, other people can do it. I'm 46 years old. And I said that, yeah, sorry, I'm 46. Whew, I'm proud of it. And you know what? I even said this once upon a time. I said, even when I'm 90, I'm going to be still standing up here and preach the gospel. Come on. Don't give reasons why, you know, because of my age or because I'm sick. Honestly, I was pretty sick in bed two days ago. And I was about to text Pastor Richard and say, I'm so sorry, I can't do this Sunday. I was about to. And I'm very grateful for my husband. He actually called me and he said, hey, this is the enemy's way. He's wanting to stop you. You have to fight the good fight of faith. Come on. And I said, whoa. And I said, he should be loving me. He should be thinking about me. He should be saying, honey, just rest. Don't worry about preaching. Someone else could preach, that kind of thing. You know what? And after I put the phone on, I was pretty annoyed. Mm-mm. I was in bed, about to sleep, and then he called, and I was about to, like, put on the phone, pretty annoyed. And I was like, you know what? God, this must be you. I have to submit to my husband. And you know what? And I said, Lord, I submit to him, my father. And I submit to my husband. And I said, Lord, and I am a servant of the Most High God. And I said, Lord, I am here to serve your church, to serve the body. And Lord, no matter what it is, and if you want me to preach in First Light, almost like telling God, you know, like, hey, if you want me to be here, huh? I said, you better make me well tomorrow. And you know what? Lo and behold, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here because of my God and submission. And I tell you, we have to be diligent. We cannot be lazy. We cannot give any more excuses to say, oh, someone else can do it. Oh, I'm not ready yet. I don't know how to do it. I don't know the Bible. If you don't know, go read it, man. Don't read it just one time. Hello. You probably say like, oh, I can't hear God's voice. You don't even recognize the shepherd's voice because you've never read the word in the first place. Hey, time to open up the word. You may not understand it the first time, but read it, man. Read it. It says, keep on seeking. It says, seek, 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 seek. It's not seek once. It's seek over and over and over and over and over and over until you see him face to face, until you hear his voice. Come on. If you're with me, say amen. And if you're not reading the word right now, you say amen. That was a trick. That means a lot of you are reading the word. Hallelujah. Sorry, Anna. Oops. You're just excited. Don't let the enemy throw this weapon of complacency toward you. Don't let it. We have to watch our life. You know, not only us watching, as I said before, other people are also watching our lives. You know, read the word. Live out the word. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. You know, if you do all these things, you will bear witness of who Christ is. So this is not only to keep yourself, but also others from heartaches, discouragement, misled, shipwreck, faith. You have a call. You have a call to be an example of what freedom looks like. Of what does it mean to be in Christ Jesus? You have a call, my friends. And this goes from this church. It goes from your house. It goes to your workplace. It goes to every place that you step into. Because I want to encourage you before I finish up. I don't even know the time. Can someone tell me the time, please? Hey? Okay. Just want to encourage, sorry, I didn't bring my phone up here. I just want to encourage you. It's from Psalm 145. It says that I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another, and they tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you. Lord, you are faithful. Lord, your faithful people extol you. Can I invite the worship team up, please? Thank you. And verse 11 says, they tell of all the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. My friends, I just want to highlight here that in verse 4, it says, one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. My friends, we are this generation. You are this generation that you need to shout out God's praises. You need to shout out the mighty acts of God. And if you silent, my friends, if you keep your voice silent, if you're not going to shout out, I tell you, my friends, your friends out there will be lost. And when I said in the beginning that God is serious about you, he is. He wants you to enter into a place of rest, but the Holy Spirit directed activity type of rest. He wants to release you. He wants to empower you. He wants you to enter into the place that He has called you. He wants to remind you again how good He is, and He has not given up, and He is going to keep on doing what He's doing. I'm going to invite you all to stand as we sing this song. And it's called The Goodness of God. Because some of you right now probably need to be reminded that, hey, maybe I have been complacent. Maybe I've been so settled in the things of the old and the things of my own. Because it's all because it's about me, it's about me, it's about me. But God is saying, hey, stop saying it's about you. It's about Him. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And what for First Light, as you went into your 15th year, it's time for this big change. It's time for you to be a true example of what a true discipleship of Jesus actually looks like. And what does that look like? There are five things here. There's five verses here to show you how to go to that place. Be diligent. Devote yourself in the scripture reading. Encourage one another. Hallelujah. And if you are in that place, just sing in the song with me.